more ideas, different points of view, in-depth discussion, and thoughtful analysis. Welcome to Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN, your exclusive look inside Milwaukee County government. Here's your host, Harold Mester.
And good evening, Milwaukee County. This is the November 6th, 2011 edition of Inside the County Board. All eyes are on the county budget this time of year. County Executive Chris Abley presenting his budget proposal to the county board on September 29th. Supervisors spent much of October reviewing the changes and presenting some of their own ideas through amendments that were voted on in the Finance and Audit Committee. The chairman of that committee joins us now, Supervisor John Thomas.
How are you doing here?
I'm good. So this was your first budget process as chairman of the Finance and Audit Committee,
yes.
And we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty on that here in a minute, but just overall, are you pleased with the results thus far?
I am. I think the board took their time, and we were conscious of the decisions we made. We had to take a balanced approach to ensure that we provided the services that our constituents wanted, as well as realize that there would be an impact on our decisions. So I'm really pleased.
What is a balanced approach?
Well, we held a number of community meetings where constituents gave us their insight on what they were willing to pay in a tax levy if one were imposed, as well as the services that they wanted to keep and at what level. So taking all of that information into consideration, supervisors were thoughtful with their decisions and mindful of the things that we were told.
It is a balancing act. You have to weigh, yes, a lot of different things. So let's talk about the obstacles that the county faced in this budget. Mm-hmm. There were a number of hurdles. You had a $55 million budget gap is,
yes,
probably one of the biggest hurdles. And the county exec proposed big cuts to the sheriff's department. We'll talk about that later on.
Mm-hmm.
A sizable jump in what employees pay for health insurance. He cut funding for arts and culture. He drastically lowered the contingency fund. Would you say that's an accurate assessment of the problems that you and your committee faced in dealing with this budget?
Well, we have to realize that those challenges that we faced were impacted by the state reducing our shared revenue by $28 million. So that was a huge cut that we weren't anticipating. So initially we were anticipating about a $25 to $27 million shortfall. But again, with the state imposing $28 million cut in shared revenue with the toolkit that didn't supply any tools, it made our process a little bit more challenging.
What would you say are the highlights of what the committee was able to accomplish? I mean, there were more than 40 amendments approved, mm-hmm, during the process. What do you think are the biggest changes that have the most impact?
Well, we provided more resources back to the sheriff's department, and we were able to sustain some of the positions that he initially lost. We also received $7.7 million in federal funding for new express bus services, preserve border-to-border paratransit service while maintaining the fee for paratransit to $4.
Because it's currently $3.25.
It's currently $3.25, but again, our constituents told us that they were willing to bear $4 as opposed to $4.50, which was suggested by the county executive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And senior centers are fully funded, and fixed route transit fares remain the same for this year at $2.25.
I think some of the people who watched the budget closely were surprised that there was actually increased funding to the behavioral health division.
Mm-hmm.
That's an area that's been difficult to fully fund in the past, and part of the reason they were able to up that is because the county exec took money away from paramedics, emergency medical, mm-hmm, services.
Well, the county board was able to, at this point, we were able to add in $1.5 million back to EMS services. There was a change in the collection of revenue for the service, and that was distributed back out to the municipality. So there should have been a gradual change over time and weaning them off of the $3 million. So the board didn't feel that it was appropriate just to cut them or eliminate the full $3 million at one time. So I'm sure going forward there will be a gradual reduction in that amount just to ensure that the paramedic services is still provided at the same level.
And we'll find out tomorrow morning.
Yep.
8:30 is when the budget adoption meeting starts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I believe, six different amendments on different ways to address the paramedics. So we'll see which one moves forward.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the parks. There was $1 million cut in funding for seasonal workers in the parks, and the committee was able to put half of that back in.
Yes. Well, that the cut stemmed from, I guess, the executive looked at a five-year average on the number of seasonal workers that the park needed. And based on that average, he felt that he could reduce the staffing by $1 million. The county board is hopeful that we'll have a better summer than we had this past year, and which will allow us to have more, which will, I guess, require the need for more part-time individuals, which will create more revenue and then help the parks become more self-sustaining. In light of not being able to have a dedicated funding for parks and transit and the emergency medical services, you know, we're doing the best that we can to make sure that we provide a good service to our constituents.
As it relates to employee health insurance and retiree health insurance, there was a big increase there, and there's been a lot of talk about getting county employees to kind of mirror the private sector and how much the employee are paying for their share. And in 2011, the employee share is about 12%. The exec proposed increasing that to about 28%. And then the committee scaled that back a little bit to 25%.
Yes.
But it's my understanding some supervisors are hearing from retirees who are saying that they can't bear this larger burden.
Well, that was a drastic change to go from 12 to 28%. And the board was only able to reduce that down to 25%. I can understand how that, you know, sticker shock could affect our retirees and even our current employees. We know that there would be a shift in our health care. I just didn't realize that it would be that drastic. But you know, I felt that we did the best that we could with the constraints that we had to help ease that burden. And Supervisor Marina Dmitrievich has also initiated a wellness plan, which could also help reduce some of that cost that our employees will have to bear.
And the wellness plan, it would lower costs both for the employee and for the employer. The county is the thinking behind that. You can, if your employees are healthier, you might be able to lower the health care costs going down.
And the misconception is you have to be in great shape to benefit from the wellness plan. And that misconception, I think, is going to be part of the challenge in getting employees to apply for the program. Because essentially, once you apply for the program and then you meet with the wellness coach and you come up with a plan, you've met the requirements for the plan. And this doesn't mean that we're going to have oversight or try to track our employees to make sure that they're going to Gold's Gym every other day. But we just want to encourage employees to live a better, healthier lifestyle, which is beneficial for them. And then, of course, you know, it benefits the county.
Sure. Yeah, you're not going to be penalizing someone if they don't lose 10 pounds in the next 6 months.
And that's going to be the challenge, just to make individuals aware that there isn't a penalty if you meet with your wellness coach and you don't meet the expectations of, let's say, losing 10 pounds. But hopefully you've made some changes in your life, maybe stop smoking, or instead of taking the elevator up one stairs, you take the stairs. Those small incremental steps will definitely benefit you and, again, benefit the county.
Last week, the county board held its annual public hearing, and that's where the full county board convenes at the Washington Park Senior Center to hear from constituents who are concerned about the budget. More than 100 people testified.
Yes.
And, you know, there were times I was there, you were there. It got pretty intense.
Yeah.
What was the message you took away that night?
Well, the county is a safety net that we provide a service to people when you know, they can't provide it for themselves. And I think people are frustrated, and these are the people who can least afford a tax levy, or people who don't have other options. So the frustration, I believe, that we experienced or we saw that night stems from a lot of conditions that have taken place in the country over the past 3 to 4 years. And I think people are nervous. They just want to make sure that there's someone out there who can help them through these difficult periods, and ensure that their family receives you know, health care, child care, and that they can have transportation to look and find work.
Well, the media loves to focus on the property tax levy, and with the actions of the Finance Committee thus far, prior to tomorrow morning's meeting, the tax levy would rise by 2.15%.
Yes.
And the latest numbers we have show that that would be a very small impact on the average city of Milwaukee homeowner, right?
Yeah, on a $150,000 home, the tax levy impact would be estimated at $3.81 increase in the city of Milwaukee. On a home assessed in the city of Milwaukee averaging $123,000, the impact would be approximately $2.90. Now, that small investment gives you a return on investment that I think exceeds what we, you know, the essentially the price of a Happy Meal. You've provided service to ensure that your neighbor or your person that you attend church with has an opportunity to have health care for their children. You provide food for them. And then again, they have transportation to go out and look for work at a reasonable cost. So I don't want, we were, again, the board and the committee are mindful of the impact that we have on, well, the decisions that we have, how they impact our constituents. And I think it's appropriate and it's fair and balanced to say that, you know, a $2.90 increase to provide a number of services that are going to definitely improve this our community and help us stay competitive is necessary and worth it.
Have constituents given you feedback one way or the other on the property tax levy?
You know, again, I think for the most part, people realize the situation that the county and the country is in, and they realize that a small investment of $2.90 and how far we can stretch that money, how far we can take it, and the overall benefit that most of the calls that I've received have been encouraging. They've stated that they're happy that we've restored funding for public safety, that we've kept transit fares at the same level as 2011, as well as ensuring that we're providing free birth certificates to individuals who need that to vote in the upcoming election. So I've received a number of phone calls, and everyone has been overwhelmingly supportive.
Well, my final question is, how do you think the county executive did throughout this process? Mm-hmm. He proposed a property tax freeze, cut funding for the arts and parks, and some people have said it's almost like Scott Walker all over again. So, you know, do you think there's a difference this time around?
Well, the executive was put in a tough position. You know, upon being elected, he's had to immediately start working on the budget. And again, with the state imposing or adding another $28 million deficit onto a perceived $27 million deficit, I think he did as good as could be expected. And he had some tough decisions to make. And I'm sure he didn't make them lightly. But I think that's why citizens have elected their county, their local county representative to come in and make a few tweaks where we feel necessary to help the executive, I guess, have a better understanding and meet the needs of our constituents. So overall, I think he did well. I think he'll do better in the future. And hopefully he just keeps talking to the board and constituents, and we should see an improvement.
Well, I know that the committee put in many long hours throughout mm-hmm. October, and you had meetings almost on a daily basis for quite a bit of the month of October, and yes. You and all the other supervisors on the committee, I think, had at or close to 100% attendance throughout that process, I believe. So thank you for your hard work on the budget.
Thank you.
And here's what happens next. The full county board adopts the amended version of the budget tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m. That's in room 200 of the county courthouse. And then any vetoes from the county executive will be considered on November 16th, that's a Wednesday, at 1:30 p.m. in room 200, and it takes a two-thirds vote. We are expecting vetoes, right? It takes a two-thirds vote to override, and we're expecting to require this meeting. Right?
Yeah, we will have some vetoes, I'm sure. The executive had indicated that he would present a zero-based budget, and he's already stated to some news media that anything above a zero-based budget he would veto. So we need 13 votes to override his veto, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Supervisor Don Thomas.
Thank you.
All right. After the break, our budget analysis continues with the big blow to funding for the Sheriff's Department. Supervisor Willie Johnson and Sheriff David Clark join us when we come back on News Talk 1130 WISN.